Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text comes from the lesson, especially verse 5. Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you, and that he may confirm the promise which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Poor Ali E. known. Why some, but not others? Why are some saved, but others are condemned? That question has plagued theologians and churches for centuries. Some of the greatest minds in history have wrestled with that question. And usually the answers amounted to some form of works righteousness. So you have Pelagianism and semi-Pelagianism. You have the transformation model of Roman Catholicism, or the cooperation approach of the Greek Orthodox, or synergism of Arminianism. It's truly remarkable how often works righteousness sneaks into theology, whether it be liberation theology on the left or fundamentalism on the right. It is remarkable. And second thought, I guess it's not all that remarkable. It's not because man by nature is a legalist. Natural man thinks the law ways. This is the way all humans are. This is the way society and life is set up. Our economic system of free enterprise, for instance, is based on rewards and merit. If you get a promotion or a pay raise, it's because you work for it, because you earned it. You get what you deserve. Life is set up that way. And if we look closely enough, I dare say that we can see some work righteousness deep down inside of our own heart. God should have mercy on me because I am a good Christian. I go to church and I tithe. God should have mercy on me because I am a spirit-filled Christian and not like those other carnal Christians. God should have mercy on me because I decided for Christ. I invited Jesus into my heart. I made him the Lord of my life. God should have mercy on me because I paid a lot of good money to prepare for service in the church. Because I am a student at a seminary preparing for the holy ministry, or because I teach at a seminary. The list goes on and on. God should have mercy on me. God, I thank thee that I am not like that tax collector over there. Mankind has not changed all that much over the centuries. Even ancient Israel on the plains of Moab had that same tendency towards work righteousness. That's why Moses in our text continually repeats the phrase, not because of your righteousness, not because of the uprightness of your heart. That's why Moses reminds Israel of how they have been a stubborn and stiff-necked people ever since they left Egypt. Why, even at Mount Sinai, where you would think for sure they would worship and be faithful to Yahweh alone, even there they committed the golden calf apostasy. And that is why Moses says in our text, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out. He is calling Israel and us to repentance. Israel and we are no better than these wicked nations. We too indeed deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. We too deserve to be driven out. And so Moses throws us down on our knees. His words, not because of your righteousness, cut to the quick and puts us on our face before God. But to the one who on his knees cries out, God be merciful to me, a sinner, there is mercy. There is mercy. God did have mercy on ancient Israel. He did bring them into the promised land. Why? Because of his promise. Our text says, that he may confirm the promise which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Because of his promise, he brought them into the land. And that promise was ultimately fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Christ is the one who faithfully obeyed God and was not stubborn and stiff-necked, but obeyed God in the place of all people. Christ was the one who is the seed of Abraham, in whom there is blessing for all nations. Christ is the one who was driven out and destroyed on the cross in the place of all nations. Christ is the one who gloriously rose and ascended into heaven, thereby paving the way for us into the heavenly promised land. Because of Christ's merit, there is mercy. Because of his righteousness, not because of our righteousness, there is life in the promised land. So, why some but not others? That really amounts to two different questions with two different answers. And those questions are not merely academic, abstract, theoretical questions. No, those questions and their answers make all the difference in the world. Why are some condemned? As Chuck says, because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord God drove them out. Because they rejected God's gift of salvation, but preferred to rely on their own idols and on their own righteousness, and preferred to remain in their own wickedness. Because of that, they were driven out. That is a warning. It's a warning to us to take heed lest we fall. It is a call for us to repent of our own idolatrous work righteousness, lest we too be driven out. And why are some saved? I shall say, that he may confirm the promise which the Lord swore to your fathers. Because of God's merciful promise fulfilled in Christ Jesus, there is salvation. Because of Christ's righteousness given to us, there is life in the promised land. That is a call to faith, a call to rely on Christ's merit, a call to rejoice in God's merciful promise fulfilled in Christ. So, repentance and faith, that is a word for today in this Lenten season coming from Deuteronomy 9. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.